From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back to Locked On Chiefs. Before we get into today's show, which is a great one with Seth and Chris, I was actually predisposed last night when we recorded this. But right now, some breaking news that it looks like Laurent Duvernay-Tardif is going to be out longer than we expected. Looks like he has additional injury to his ankle, not just the fibula. So we're going to wait to see what is going to happen with him. We talked about it yesterday, but that and the fact that Armani Watts is having surgery today, Thursday the 11th, and that LDT will have it on the 15th, maybe changes their timelines a little bit. We don't know exactly, but I wanted to get that breaking news up before I post this show with Chris and Seth. So without further ado, enjoy your day, and here they are.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Chiefs. I am one of your hosts, Seth Kaiser with The Athletic, and I'm here today with the unmatched, undefeated, unbent, unbroken, unbowed Chris Clark. How you doing today, Chris?
I'm great. How are you, Seth?
I'm doing very, very well. Not as well as you, given the lead up that I just gave you. You're clearly having a wonderful week. But
that was fantastic. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, I just kept thinking of things that I could say after the word the prefix un, and they just kept coming out. And so life is good, man. I've had more fun film to review this week. The Chiefs are playing good, or well, if you want to use proper English, but it doesn't matter. And life is good, man. I've spent a lot of my week sussing through some all 22, and you're not going to believe what I found about Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, I think I'll probably believe what you found about Patrick Mahomes, although I do think it was an interesting game for him against the Jaguars, and we will get to that in a minute. But I do want to talk about a couple things real quick, a couple things that came out late. It looks like they did place Laurent Duvernay-Tardif on IR along with Armani Watts, which is kind of surprising on Watts.
Yeah, that's a bummer. Yep. I like Watts.
Must be something more than a groin, unless it's a horrible groin injury.
You're saying that he might have a huge groin?
I did not say that, but you say what you want, sir.
Anyway, because they can only bring back two people,
right? And they brought back Frank Zombo, but they still currently, as of this recording, and we're recording this a little early for Thursday, they still have a spot open. So it's a little interesting that they left that spot open. Considering they went and got an OLB, it makes sense. Houston's probably out a couple of weeks. Ford's been banged up. K-Pass got banged up. Makes sense that they brought back Zombo. Curious what they're going to do with that other position that they got open, though.
Yeah, I have absolutely no idea whatsoever. There's a lot of directions that they could go. The fact that they were looking into Earl Thomas says that they're looking to do something aggressive. And that's we can win the Super Bowl this year move. And so I wouldn't rule anyone out. The obvious candidates are decent players, or with what we've seen from Veach, guys who had a lot of hype coming into the draft but have maybe underperformed, like Cam Irving or Reggie Ragland. Although Ragland might be kind of a sore subject with fans right now.
Absolutely.
Because while he's done all right, he's done well against the run. You know, against the pass, it's been rough. Although Hitchens kind of came around this last week. And so, you know, that's been nice to see. Like Hitchens, there's been a lot fewer of those what the crap plays.
Right.
But anyway, you know, that's something we've seen from Veach. Which, hey, with Cam Irving, it seems to be working out really well.
It does.
And with Ragland, although there's been some hiccups, I would argue that considering what they gave up to get him, it's worked out pretty well so far. So,
well, and I would say with Ragland, I think I agree with you. It's worked out well so far. And I also think that if he ever gets to a point where he is attacking again, I think it'll work out well. To me, he still seems like he is a step slow and not really ready to play yet. Ready to go 100%. So, you know, a couple of names thrown out there, Hassan Reddick, supposedly is on the outs in Arizona. That would be an interesting acquisition. Seems like it would be right up Veach's alley. Don't know what you'd have to give up to get him. Cardinals are a team that I could see making a move. Another team I could see making a move, although I can't see the player. Somebody's mentioned to me Landon Collins. I just cannot see him possibly being available.
Right. Yeah, I know I've had a bunch of people telling me that they would love that. And it's like, well, that's true. I would love that. I'd love it if, you know, they could trade for Harrison Smith too.
Yeah.
But, you know, and hey, who knows? You know, I mean, the Vikings season is looking pretty rough. But, I mean, you know, generally speaking, now the Giants are a team to look at. because their season is clearly in the crapper.
Right.
And it's going to keep going that way. The problem with Collins is he is a borderline all-pro on a rookie contract. And even a rebuilding team, like a team that's looking to rebuild, I mean, he's got a couple years left on that deal, I believe, doesn't he? I mean, that's not a guy. Now, if he was in
It's the last year of his contract. But even if it is in the last year of his contract, he's not the type of guy that teams are looking to move on from. Cam Irving and Reggie Ragland were guys that they were the teams didn't feel like they fit their system. That's not the case with Landon Collins. That right. may be the case with Hassan Reddick, but not a Landon Collins.
Interesting. So, you know, here's just an interesting thing. So I'm looking, and you're absolutely right, and I was absolutely wrong. Collins has been in the league longer than I thought. So, I mean, just for the sake of argument, this is worth thinking about. Collins is in the last year of his contract, which means
– I'm going to go out on a limb and say I'll give a first-round pick right now.
I would give a first-round pick for Landon Collins. Absolutely. And if you're the Giants – I think you at least think about it, right? You at least listen to that. I mean, he's going to want a lot of money because he's a very good safety. And if you are the Giants right now, is paying a ton of money to Landon Collins at safety something you want to do? I don't know. Well, you know, maybe you. I mean, that's just an interesting thought process.
Yeah, and here's a better argument for the Giants. You know that Eli Manning is probably on his way out, if not this year, definitely after next year, and you have to go make a move to get a replacement. You're not going to be able to do that. You may not be able to do that depending on how many wins you get this year, but if you have two first-round picks, you have the ability to pretty much choose who you want next year or the year after.
Especially since they'll be picking relatively high in the draft.
Yep.
And so, you know, moving from number 7 to number 5 or to number 3, you know, that's not nearly as much of a problem. And so I got to tell you, I just warmed up to the Landon Collins idea. You know, if Brett Veach really wants to be aggressive, you call him up because they're working with a little extra draft capital as it is. And call him up and say, hey, can't help but notice that Landon Collins is walking. Now, here's the deal. They'll get a third round compensatory pick no matter what if he walks in free agency. So it obviously have to be something a lot more than that. And just say, look, you guys aren't planning on keeping him anyway. We'll give you a first rounder for him. Now, Chiefs fans might not love that because we love our draft picks. But position of need, great player, can play all over the field. And he's a guy that you're more comfortable signing long term than Earl Thomas because he's a lot younger.
Yeah, I would say he would solve at least one of the safety positions for the next 6 years, because at that point you franchise him after this year if you can't get him signed to a long term deal. Although I think they could get him signed to a long term deal.
I think
you're in a good position there. So yeah. To me, that's a move I would make. I don't think that New York is going to be wanting to move him.
Right.
But
and that would be the deal. And so so for me, I see I'm always a wheeler and dealer. And when I'm close to a deal, I'd be like, well, what about a first and a fourth? Because I'd do a first and a fourth too. But that's because I smell a Super Bowl, Chris. I smell it. It's so close.
And I wouldn't argue with that. I would do that as well. You know, first and a fourth for a player of that caliber that I think you for sure can lock up long term. I mean, obviously nothing's guaranteed, but I think they could lock them up long-term, like I said. So I give up a first and fourth for that type of player.
Yeah. And so I'd love to see that kind of aggression. And that's the deal. You know, if you scour the league, look for guys in the last year of their contract or guys that are maybe on their way out already, that kind of stuff. So that's why I know there's the talk about Reddick and Buchanan, because both of them, I think, maybe never Reddick. I've never heard of him playing nearly as well as people thought he would. Buchanan, though, people spoke very highly of him very recently. And so I don't know what the deal is this year, but, you know, they're a mess there in Arizona. So I like the idea of doing something aggressive, but if you're going to do something aggressive, you might as well do something uber aggressive and, you know, take a look at, you know, a team like the Giants that has, you know, I mean, they've got no future this year. And so offering them something, and I can't even think of another team that might fit more perfectly off the top of my head, but some team that's building for the future with a guy that's in maybe in the last year of his contract, go for it. Be aggressive. I like it.
Yeah. I would like the move as well, and we will see if Brett Veach makes some kind of move like that. I would be surprised if it's that kind of aggressive move. I also have thrown out the name, or I've thrown out the Honey Badger, although I don't think Houston is going to be looking to move somebody one game back out in their division.
Right.
Anyway, let's take a quick break, and we will talk about a little bit about Patrick Mahomes, and then let's talk about the Patriots after that. All right, Seth, so we know that you have looked at the film. You saw what you – first off, I guess let me ask this question. Did you see what you expected from the film?
I did this time. I was surprised after the Broncos game. This week, I was not surprised when I watched the film, no.
So what did you expect to see?
I expected to see Mahomes take advantage of pretty much every opportunity that he had. I expected to see a Jaguars defense that played really good coverage and did a good job with pressure and made everything hard, closed quickly. 30-yard gains against other teams are 15-yard gains against the Jags. They really have a very good defense. They swarm. They're so fast. And I just didn't see Mahomes make a lot of mistakes in the game. You know, he had the two picks, obviously. Both of those looked like just a throw issue to me, not a decision. That's what it was on film. And what I saw on film was, overall, the Jags, they did not do much to slow Mahomes down. You know, Travis Kelce dropped a pass in the red zone that should have been a touchdown.
Walk-in
touchdown. Chris Conley, on that same drive, he should have caught a touchdown himself. That was the play that Mahomes ran around for like 20 minutes. And then yep. Conley kind of juked instead of just moving left. And that's fine. You know, it's a fire drill. I mean, who knows what to do in that situation. But I saw some missed opportunities there where you can see why Mahomes didn't have like a big touchdown day statistically or even a good one. But they really – the Jags did not have – you can see why Gibson, after the game, said – and he was talking about the defense versus the offense here. He said they beat us like we stole something. And he was right. The Jags defense did very little to slow the Chiefs offense down all day. They did almost nothing to really slow the Chiefs offense down. The only time the Chiefs offense failed, for the most part, was self-inflicted errors. And that's just – that should be terrifying to the rest of the NFL. Mahomes overall played very well. I don't think he played quite at the, like, unbelievable level he played against Denver. But he was still very, very good. And so it's – I keep asking myself, when is that game going to happen where he doesn't play well? And one thing I really like about this game, by the way, just on a side note, is Tony Romo talked about it during the broadcast, how well Mahomes was playing and that the box score didn't reflect it. It makes me so happy to see good commentating like that, you know, beyond.
What I would argue is that I think he played well at times. I think that he struggled at times as well, but I don't think that that's a bad thing to see from him. I think it's a good thing just because you see that he still has areas to improve in. And with as well as he's played the first 4 weeks, you know, you started to question whether or not he still had a lot of areas that he can improve in. So I do think that, you know, the interceptions I'm okay with. Look like he tried to make a play in both of them. Neither of them, I agree, were bad decisions. I think he just was not as accurate as he wanted to be. I mean, you look at the throw he made to Anthony Sherman in the first quarter. Mm-hmm. If he misses that throw by a foot, it's a pick.
Yeah.
I mean, those are the small windows that he's throwing into.
And that's also, I mean, that's the risk you run when you play a great defense like the Jags. Yep. Both of those throws might not have been picks against a different defense. You know, the first one, you know, the free safety probably might have been over the top anyway, but they really converged. And the guy made a nice catch. You know, those were nice picks. The defense did a good job. I don't agree. I don't think Mahomes struggled that much, honestly. Like, even within, you know, outside the context of, you know, in every game, you're going to have a few, you know, snaps here and there you want to take back. There were very few snaps where I thought, man, Mahomes just made a bad play here. It was mostly, well, you know, the Jags, well, everyone's covered. And, you know, what? Everyone's covered. They're getting pressure. So he threw it away or skips it at someone's feet. It was similar to the Broncos game in that respect, although I think he left a few more plays on the field than he did against the Broncos.
All right. So we've already looked at what he did against the Jaguars. Let's look forward a little bit at the Patriots. To me, this is a matchup that is going to be very fun, mainly because I do think that Andy Reid has really had Belichick's number over the past couple of years. And to me, you look at what Alex Smith was able to do against the Bill Belichick team last year. I don't think that this is going to be – I'm not going to say it's not going to be a close game, because I think it could be, because the Chiefs' defense is that bad. And I do think that they're going to be struggling with injuries this time. But I do think that Kansas City still puts up over 30 points.
I would be surprised if they didn't, simply because the issues the Patriots defense has. Here's the deal. The Patriots have Bill Belichick, which is like the ultimate equalizer, right? You just never know. You never know if anyone – I feel like Belichick, along with Wade Phillips, they're like the last hope for the NFL. And what I mean by that is if there's something schematic that other teams haven't tried – that will really mess with Mahomes. Like, even like the Jags, I mean, they were trying to play, they played a lot more zone defense than I expected. They were trying different things.
Which you pointed out in multiple different tweets that Jalen Ramsey looked like he was gassed in multiple different times too.
He looked shot. He really did.
So I wonder if that's going to be a recurring theme throughout the rest of the season, is this offense just wears defenses out.
Well, you're just, no matter where you go as a corner, you're either chasing Watkins or you're chasing Hill, or maybe you're chasing Robinson. It's not like Robinson's slow. You know what I mean? And Conley, even though he's not explosive, once he's going, he can get down the field in a hurry. There's just, you know, DeAnthony Thomas is super quick. There's no, like, there's no breaks. You know, there's no, you know, if to use like an NBA team, you know, there's nowhere to hide as a defender. You know, there's no weak guy to go on. And so, like, with Belichick, though, and Wade Phillips, those are the two best defensive minds in the NFL. If someone is going to come up with some sort of, you know, whatever, you know, the Patriots play a certain kind of pattern match scheme that can be really tough for a young quarterback, because it's a blend of zone and man. It's very tough to figure out. The problem is it does turn into man coverage eventually, and because Mahomes generally buys like 4 or 5 seconds in the pocket, any form of man coverage is probably not going to work out great with this group of playmakers.
The bigger problem I see, though, for defenses is it doesn't matter how good your coverage is at times, Mahomes will still beat it.
Right.
It's not like Anthony Sherman was open on that specific play I'm talking about.
Right. Yeah, well, he was. Yeah, it's not like Hill had a step on Ramsey down the field on the left side.
Right.
You know, Kelsey had a step. He's dropping these throws into buckets, and it's tough. And here's the problem for the Patriots that isn't quite as much a problem for the Rams. Although without Aqib Talib, I think the Rams might be in trouble that game too. That game, whatever the over is on that game, slam the over. Rams Chiefs. Like, I could see both teams putting up 40. Anyway, the problem that I see for Belichick, and I've only looked at their defense a very, 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 very little bit. So I could be wrong here. I'm basing this off the opinions that other guys have given me and just a few kind of casual glances. Their defense does not have good speed. They're slow. And if there's any issue you don't want against the Chiefs, I think you're maybe better off being undisciplined than slow. Well, although undisciplined didn't really work out for the Steelers either. I just think if you have a glaring weakness on defense, that's a problem. If you're slow on defense, I think this offense is going to run a track meet. And so I'm a little afraid, because Belichick will always make you a little afraid. But I think they will. I think this is Mahomes kind of had his, you know, coming out party as, like, you know, on Monday Night Football, that awesome comeback against a good defense and all that stuff. And now the Chiefs of a team have kind of had their coming out party against the Jaguars. And I think this is their chance to say, we are the AFC team to beat. They already beat the Jaguars, and so now it's just the Patriots. They can beat the Patriots. They are the team to beat. Oh, and then, of course, they get the only other team that might even have a slight claim the next week in Cincinnati.
Yeah, and it's just ridiculous the way the Chiefs' schedule's worked out, because then the next week they play the Broncos again in Kansas City. So,
yeah. They really this first half of the season, it always, looking at the schedule, I remember looking at the first like 9 or 10 games, I was like, "Good Lord." You know, if they can come out of that. I remember thinking to myself, I want to say I came out thinking, "McMahon, if they can be, you know, like 4-4 or 5-4 or something like that, I'm going to be okay with it." And that's the thing about winning these early games. they've built themselves a little margin for error, and so the key is to not have that midseason swoon that we've seen at times.
The difference in the midseason swoon, though, is this team is so much different than it's been in the past with Andy Reid calling the plays he is and Patrick Mahomes running the offense. To me, it's just a completely different team.
Right.
You don't have an Alex Smith that won't take the shots. You have Patrick Mahomes who's going to take the shots for better or for worse. And it's usually worked out for the better. But you're right. You look at the first, 10 or 11 games, after Denver, then they have at Cleveland versus Arizona, and then they play the Rams. And
Cleveland doesn't look like as much of a pushover.
No,
as it
doesn't. But I think it's still an easy – but I think it's definitely a winnable game.
And absolutely. That's a lot more winnable than some of these
other
games.
Then you have Oakland twice in the last 5 weeks and Seattle. And then you have Baltimore and the Chargers. So I think, you look at their schedule, if they find a way to be 7-3 – 8-3, 9-3, somewhere in there, I think they're in great shape.
They absolutely are. And it is, the schedule gets easier, but it never becomes like a cupcake schedule. It's just not that easy a schedule this year. And that's fine. I'm happy about that. I'm glad they played the Jags, because otherwise we would have been hearing all throughout the playoffs, though, this is the one defense that can, and that's what we heard, right? Leading into the matchup. This is the one defense that can maybe match up against the Chiefs. This is the one defense that has enough speed. And we saw it didn't really matter. It just didn't matter. Not with Andy Reid calling the plays, not with Mahomes hitting the windows he's hitting. And, I think we all saw, when we talk about midseason swoons, and I spent years defending Alex Smith, and I do think he's a good quarterback, but Alex Smith's floor, from what we've seen as in an individual game, is a lot lower than Patrick Mahomes' floor. And that was a big concern, right? Oh, Mahomes might have those games where he throws for 5 picks. That would stun me if that happened this year. I think when you saw what Alex Smith did on Monday Night Football, that's an Alex Smith floor game, right? And we saw some of those last year. Now, when you've got Mahomes, it doesn't look like we're going to have those games where the quarterback just plays bad. And wouldn't that just be glorious?
It would be. And it looks like it's going to be a fun season just with the way it's played out so far. Let's take another quick break. And I know you were looking at another player from the game on Sunday. Isn't it crazy how much we pay for new brand name clothes? Why do we go buy new kids' clothes if they just outgrow them in a few months? Wouldn't it be great if there was a place to discover awesome discounts on gently used clothes? Well, there is. Swap.com, the world's largest online consignment and thrift store. Stop driving to the store after store and sifting through racks. Easily sift through millions of clothes in seconds on swap.com with easy-to-use filters to find just what you need. Over 14 million tons of textiles are wasted each year. Shopping secondhand at swap.com helps prevent textile waste from polluting the environment, which is something you can feel good about. With swap.com, you can save up to 90% off retail price on your favorite brands like Lululemon, Carter's, Nike, J.Crew, and Gap. Quality, hand-inspected items are added on a daily basis. If something doesn't fit, enjoy hassle-free returns within 30 days. We have a special offer for our listeners. Get 35% off select items for your first order with promo code Locked On. That's 35% off with promo code Locked On. Plus, find new deals every day on swap.com's homepage. All right, Seth. So who else did you review?
I took a look at Jordan Lucas's film. And, I suppose I haven't done a plug in a while. You can find this work on The Athletic, obviously. Take a look. I think it's some pretty good stuff. But then again, I'm biased. My wife also thinks it's good stuff, but she's biased too. So really, I can't give you any unbiased people. And let's face it, she doesn't really think it's good. So anyway, not because I'm a bad writer, I don't think, but just because she doesn't care. So Jordan Lucas, a lot of Chiefs fans are talking about him this week. Look, one game is not enough to gauge a player. It's just not. That's how the Philip Gaines mania started. Hey, I was at the front of that bus.
Yes, you were.
Because he played a couple of brilliant games and showed all these traits that looked repeatable. Terrence Mitchell, same thing. Safety is an even harder position to really figure out than corner, just because the assignments are so different, and it's tough. Here's what I'll say. I looked at Jordan Lucas's film. There's some stuff to like there. he looks like a guy who looks – he looks comfortable playing free safety. He looks comfortable on the back end. He looks like he's got a little bit of range. He looks like he's got okay hips. He's very comfortable hitting. He plays physical. And he's comfortable in man coverage on tight ends. Now, we'll see how he does against Gronk because, you know, good God. But I overall, there was some stuff to like there. Now, I'm bummed that Armani Watts is hurt because he stood out to me when he played. You know, he made plays. He's a playmaker, and the defense needs those guys. But, you know, Lucas played really well from what I saw. I didn't see a single play where I was like, oh, man, he just blew that coverage. And that's half the battle at free safety. Crud, that's like 70% of the battle. And he did show some range, and I like that.
Yeah, and I thought he looked good from what I saw. I am with you. One game is not going to make a career or tell us what he's going to be. So I will reserve my thoughts on him for a couple more games. I want to see what he's able to do. I do hope Eric Murray is back for this game against the Patriots just because with Armani Watts out, they're really going to need people in this game to – and, you know, you're looking at – they still have an open spot available like we talked about. Is it possible that they bring back a Leon McQuay to be the back end of that defense? I mean, you have so many questions at safety, and we still don't know when Eric Berry's going to be back.
Absolutely. And so, I mean, Lucas developing, though, into a decent player would be such a huge thing for the defense.
It would be.
I mean, man, because they need all the help they can get.
Absolutely. I agree with you on that. All right, Seth, let's go ahead and look at it. What are you expecting this weekend on Sunday night?
Oh, man. You know, I've predicted a Chiefs win every week, and so I am, like, I'm undefeated so far. The Patriots quietly are not as good an offense as the Chiefs. And it's not super close, in my opinion, as great as Tom Brady is. Now, we'll see. That's another week with Edelman in. And Edelman has given the Chiefs problems over the years. He's just that type of receiver.
Yeah, but they haven't had somebody like Kendall Fuller yet.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, Josh Gordon scares me. Tons of talent there. He might be the bigger issue, you know, big plays and stuff. But, you know, Tom Brady quietly, he's throwing like, what is it, 6 picks so far this year? I don't think the Patriots have the defense to stop the Chiefs offense, and I don't think they've got an offense to hang with the Chiefs in a shootout.
Let me throw a couple stats at you real quick.
Okay.
Passing yards. Chiefs are at 297.4, 11th in the league. Patriots are 21st at 244. Points, 35, second in the league for Kansas City. 26.6 for the Patriots. Third down percentage, 45.3. Fourth for the Chiefs, 41.7 for the Patriots in 11th. Now, I understand the Chiefs' defense is horrible, but they're great in third down percentage.
They are. That's their thing. And they're also, you know when else they've been really good? The first quarter.
Yeah.
That's actually something that I'm going to be looking into to kind of prime people for the game because they've been jumping on teams in the first quarter. And that's the thing. The real problem with the Chiefs is if you fall behind, that's when you have, you know, Blake Bortles throwing the ball 60 times. Right. You know, I mean, that's just – unless you're built to hang with that. And like the Steelers, for example, they're kind of built to hang with that. And so they did for a while, but they still couldn't hang long enough. You do not want to have a shootout against the Chiefs. And that's what they're forcing teams to do. They're forcing teams to play behind. They're forcing teams to be a little more one-dimensional. And – it's awesome to watch. Everyone's having to adjust to the Chiefs, even a defense like the Jags. And that's a cool thing to see. So all that said, I have a little bit of fear because Belichick always scares me and you never know if he might bust out something new. But I think the Chiefs win this one by 2 scores.
Wow. So you think this is a statement win for them?
I think so, yes. I don't think it's like such an emphatic 2 scores. I think you're talking like 10 or something like that. You know, 10 or 9 or, you know, something like that. But, and I do think it's close until relatively late in the game. But I think the Chiefs jump out to a lead, and I don't think they give it back.
Well, there you go, folks. That is our show for today. Thank you all for listening. We do appreciate it. Seth, tell them where they can find you one more time.
You can find my stuff over at theathletic.com. You know, it costs about as much as a Big Mac per month to subscribe. And I can tell you, we've had quite a few people sign up, and I've talked to literally hundreds of them. Like, I've go out of my way to ask them, you know, is there anything we could be doing better? And every one of them has told me, this is great, and they're happy with it. So I'd urge you to take a look. I'm biased, obviously, but I think you'll be glad you did.
Appreciate having you on, buddy, and it's going to be a fun game on Sunday night. Looking forward to talking about it afterwards.
Hey, me too, man. As always, it's awesome chatting with you.
All right. Have a good one, and we will talk to you tomorrow.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.